Good morning, everybody. Morning. You should have pens. Uh-oh, those guys over there didn't get pens. There's more pens over here. Everybody has to have a pen, and don't worry, it's not a test. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to have some fun. We're talking about friendship. We're talking about biblical friendship and what that means as we go through our series. I think I only did like 50 pens, so we might end up doing some sharing. All of you have a pen, and we have prizes today. We're talking about friendship and how important friendship is. So the way this works, April and I are going to hand some out, or she'll give it to somebody who's not limping. When I say go, you're going to walk around and find someone who has this description. For instance, easy one, has a pet cat. So that was cool, because what happened was some of you guys, you talked to people you've never talked to before. I saw smiles happening. I heard a lot of laughter. Okay? I heard a lot of laughter. And this morning, we're going to look to Scripture in our last of our series talking about God's love. And we're going to look to Scripture today to talk about philia love. Sometimes pronounced philia love. Sometimes pronounced philia fish. No, never. Never pronounce filet of fish, all right? But that's a friendship love. So remember the first week we started off talking about agape love. Agape love is that unconditional love that God has for us. That no matter what we do, it doesn't change His level of love for us. My son-in-law always jokes because years back we heard a pastor say, God cannot love you anymore. He needed to say, God cannot love you any more than He already does. But he just left it as, God cannot love you anymore. And so Jake was like, darn. Oh yeah, I might as well go home. We're done. So God's love being unconditional and then we saw that God commanded us to love each other with that love. So, and then we talked about storge love, the familial love, that love that people, that parents feel for their children, that close family love. And then last week was the most awkward sermon to ever preach in the park, because we talked about eros love, which is that attraction, physical, sensual love that God has gifted us. And it was kind of funny, if you missed it, we read through Song of Solomon chapter number 7, and some of the passages I'd be reading and I'd go, okay, you have to read the next part, because I'm not going to read that part. You know, they're children playing over here. What? So we went through that. And so this week, friendship love, what the Bible would call brotherly love, okay? Brotherly love. And so we did this activity, this people bingo, and had some fun together. We had some connections. We learned some things about one another. Who has lived on a farm? All right, a number of people lived on a farm. Who has blue eyes? A bunch of people have blue eyes. Who can solve a Rubik's Cube? Oh, Jake and Pete. Two. Shara came up and said, can I call my brother? And sign by proxy or forge? So we learned things about each other and we had conversations with one another. So this morning, I'd like us to talk about several different things about that friendship love, that philia love that Scripture talks about. Now, the first thing is the joy of unity. It's connection. It's feeling connected to someone else. That's just outside your family, feeling that connection. In Psalm 133:1, it says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." You know, that's one of the weirdest things. Getting hot. So in churches, it's kind of cool because I get friendships with people who I have nothing in common. I mean, we don't like much of the same things, and we're like, but we have this unity that is our faith, and we can get together in that common purpose, in that common direction, and share what is a friendship. It's probably not the best buddies friendship, but it's still a friendship. And I think that's cool, because when you're united in one thing together so strongly, you have that unity. When I was, as a member of Rotary, you know, there are people within my Rotary Club, we're united in purpose and cause. So I could say we have a friendship around that cause. It's not a deep friendship, but it is in unity. In Christ, it's a deep friendship, the opportunity for a deep friendship. I read somebody this week, I read it, it said, it's like a family reunion, but everybody gets along. Like a family reunion, but everybody gets along. Now, that's not always the case in churches. You know, just try to change the color of the cabinets sometime. You know, just try to move the piano. And yet you have these struggles where you'll see people be like, wah, 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 wah. Like, come on, guys. Where are we unified? What is this about? All right. When we come together as friends in our faith, we experience a taste of heaven on earth, this writer said. It was one of those blogs, and I looked around to see who wrote it, but I couldn't find it. So it's not attributed. If you're watching us today among our hundreds of thousands of viewers and you wrote that, please let me know. We don't have hundreds of thousands of viewers. Normally we have 6. All right. The second thing is in God's design of friendship love, it doesn't give up easily. It doesn't give up easily. It's got this loyalty and faithfulness among friendships. And Proverbs 17:17 is that verse that says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity." That friend who is there at all times, being there by your side, good time, bad times, they're there. So I love this verse in Colossians 3:13. "Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." Take this for friendship. Make allowance for each other's faults. You know what that means? It means cut each other some slack. Give a good dose of slack and let people have a bad day. Be in your friendships. No. Okay. They were a little snippy today, and they didn't want this. Be like, okay, I'm going to cut some slack. You're still my friend. It's okay for you to have a bad day. It's okay for you to be grumpy. It's okay for you not to want to do anything right now. It's okay. That's fine. I'm going to cut you some slack. I'm going to make allowances for others' faults. Okay? And so cutting each other's slack, when people say friends stick together through thick and thin. They're the ones who show up with a casserole when you've been sick for 4 days in a row, okay? That's the type of friends that we want to be. Now, understand that our society is pushing hard against that. Our society is pushing hard to isolate us, okay? Isolation, where we're now able to do everything at home. We can watch the movies at home. We can rent the newest movies. We don't even have to go out. Walmart will bring our groceries. Target will deliver, whoever. We can just come home from work and not go anywhere. Or we work at home, and so we don't go anywhere to not go anywhere again. And what's happening in our society is we're seeing the amount of isolation increase. And do you know that with isolation comes oftentimes depression? If you guys are at all like me, I can be like somebody, you can invite us someplace, and I can be like, ugh, I'm so tired. I don't want to go. I don't know. And then I force myself out the door. I get there. I have an absolute blast. And my wife has to nudge me to point out to me that we've overstayed our welcome. She has to be like, honey, they just put on their PJs. Let's go. Okay. If I can get out of the house, if I can make myself move toward relationship, very rarely do I not enjoy it. Now, some of you are made up differently, right? You're introverts, and you get energized by your times alone. You get energized in a book. You get energized by those things. Extroverts get energized by going out among people. Okay, but that connection, even among introverts, is so important. It's not that you have to go, and some of you are like, oh, stupid game. I don't want to do this game this morning. I get it. And then people started walking over to you when you were trying to be like, I don't want to play a stupid game. And they're like coming over at you like, did you ever go? And you're like, meh. But then you ended up smiling, being okay with it, right? Being okay with it. Total isolation causes depression. It causes breakdown. Where do they put the worst prisoners who are not behaving? Solitary confinement, right? So even with introverts, it's not good to be alone all the time. Now reach out to that group of friends. The third thing, sacrificial love for one another is the biblical model. Sacrificial love for one another. Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, let me pause right here. He's not saying, okay, that you have to go die for your friend. You know, your friend's like, come on, we're going to the Ukraine and we're going to fight together. You're like, well, I'm his friend, so I got to go. No, it's not saying that. It's saying, look at the model of what Jesus did for his friends, you and I. It's the ultimate model of friendship, sacrificial love. So we're not called to literally lay down our lives in most cases, but we show it by putting our friends' needs above our own. Sometimes our friends' needs above our own. It's that patience. You know, I always found when people would invite me to play golf, and they can play golf. Yeah, you know, I know I'm the ones I'm talking. Any of you guys golfers? I know Steve is. I know Greg is. Some of you guys and ladies, you're like, you're good golfers. And you're like, hey, want to come out golfing with us? And I go, huh, I don't know if you want me. Yeah, come on, we'll have fun. And they know something's up when they go in to pay the green fees, and I ask what the charge is for the woods fees. Because most of my time I spend in the woods looking for balls. Those good friends will be like time spent, the patience of being together is what's important. And the laughing and having fun together. So this sacrificial love, I want to give you a caution. Be careful. Friends allow healthy boundaries. Friendship is a two-way street. It's a two-way street. There's mutual support. It's not serving. I mean, there are sometimes we choose to serve someone. This is a person that needs to be served, and they're like in a hard situation, and we serve them, and we can develop a friendship there. But oftentimes it just goes one way. Do this for me. I need this. I need that. I need this. I need that. Sometimes you've already had a friendship with that person, and they're going through that hard time, and you're sticking around with them. I remember when I got so sick needing my liver transplant. Some of my friends, you know, basically would say, be there to kind of take care of me. Just take care of me and be like, there's nothing Scott can give to this friendship right now. Just his company. And that's it. I had other friends at that time who they left. They disappeared. Now, you might have been in the same circumstance, right? You went through a really hard time and your friends disappeared on you. Some people that you thought were your friends. Let me give you this. I realized that some of my friends, it was too painful for them to watch me go through what I was going through. It wasn't that they wanted to desert me. It wasn't that they didn't love me anymore. It wasn't that they didn't want to be around me. It was the pain of their love for me that they didn't know how to process watching me decline. And so years later, I've reached out to some of them and I've said, hey, listen, I'm healthy now. Things are great. Can we get back together? Can we resume that friendship? And I still have a couple of them who we haven't been able to rekindle that friendship because they say, Scott, I was just a crud. I never called you. I never looked for you. I disappeared. And when I see you now, I just feel so bad about what I did. And so in my friendships, I'll say, no. We all process things differently. I see the pictures of what I looked like. I see how tough that was. I know that you left because it was too painful to be with me. That's okay. I try to forgive these friends, but some of them we've never reconnected because they can't forgive themselves for that. You see, friendships, other friendships, act like friendships, but they're one way. Where somebody will just use and use and use and use and use. And there's no mutual support. Well, that's a serving relationship. I want to say this. Do you know that Jesus even put down boundaries? Jesus had boundaries. Jesus had times where his boundary was, I left the crowd and went away. He had times where he said, you guys go that way, I'm going this way. He had times where he said, I need to be with my Father. And so he showed that model that we at times in those relationships where it's getting too heavy or just one way, it's okay to to look and say, am I helping this person at all? Am I helping? So that fourth thing is mutual support. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10 tells us, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Their labor. You see that word there is a connection. It's a mutual support. It's the both of you in that friendship. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. And as you read on, you know, if it's cold, they can stay warm together. You know, you can go through that passage. And then I love the verse as it goes on that it says, these friends, two, 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 two. And then it says, for a cord of three strands is not easily broken or quickly broken. You know what that third strand is? Our relationship with the Lord. That relationship with the Lord unites us as Christian friends stronger than other friendships. We know we're there for each other. It's an each other equation. We're there to pick each other up. Literally and figuratively, we help each other see light at the end of the tunnel. We encourage each other. We remind one another that you're not alone. And the fifth thing, friends, in God's love, friends make each other better, stronger, able to stand. We sharpen each other, is what Proverbs 27:17 says. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You ever seen, like my son Jake, the chef Jake, he had this metal rod, and he would take a knife, and he'd be in the kitchen, and he'd just start going at that metal rod. I'm going, what are you doing besides making horrible noise? He'd say, I'm sharpening my knife. I'm sharpening it. Now that's an art to be able to do that with that rod. I can destroy knives with that rod. See, in a friendship, we sharpen each other. Sometimes we're the knife, sometimes we're the rod. And do you know what happens when that knife is going back and forth on that rod? What happens? It's sharper. There's heat. There's friction. And sometimes in our friendships in Christ, we might have to have some difficult conversations. And say, you know, I'm really worried about you. I'm really worried about you because, I don't know, have you thought about this decision? Have you thought about what you're doing there? What does God say about it? What are you finding as you pray? What is your sense? You know, we see time after time, people who get in bad relationships, and they'll choose the same type of person time after time after time. And we, as their friends in Christian relationships, need to be able to say, hey, I'm really worried about you. Have you thought about this? Oh, you don't understand. I think I really see changes in him. I see changes in her. Okay, but I'm worried about you. I'm praying for you. And have you considered what Jesus said about this? Because he loves you, agape love beyond anything. He wants what's best for you. So good friends, we challenge each other to grow in our faith. Good friends, we might notice, hey, this person has dropped out of our small group and hasn't been here in 4 weeks. Maybe it's a call to say, hey, how are you doing? Just wanted to let you know I miss you. Just wanted to just wonder what's going on, things happening or whatever. Just reach out. Do you know how many people will say to me, we as human beings put these weird tests where we test other people who don't know they're being tested. That's an unfair test, by the way. We will put other people to the test and they don't know that they're being tested. And so I've had people say, you know what? I didn't come for 4 weeks and nobody called me. Okay, that's a bad test. Because nobody called you, why didn't we call? What are some of the reasons we don't call? Don't want to bother you. You're an adult. What else? Don't have your number. A lot of times, don't have your number. When people call, I'll call Scott. Hey, do you have so-and-so's number? No, call Shara. Try Shara. Shara has everybody's number, who has given it to us. And then some people who do this test, they also don't fill out the little card when it's time to update with your phone number and stuff. So we got no contact information for you, but you want to call, you want to this, you want, and nobody knew they were being tested. It was like a dead end test. I'm like, I feel pressure. I'm like, was so-and-so there today? I don't know. I was running and talking, and who was there? And so as friends, it's okay to make that call and say, hey, if you notice that someone's missing, someone's dropping out, it's not that you're taking tabs and trying to make sure that they get a perfect attendance pin. It's not that. What you're trying to do is say, hey, I just want to know, you okay? Are you okay? You know, I heard last night from Natasha, Barbie's in the hospital again, Barbara Stone. And I heard Natasha's been keeping us up to speed, posting and letting us know what's happening and all of that. But Barbie would like some phone calls. I said, I don't know Barbie's number. So we're going to work on getting Barbie's number to post that. And she'd like maybe a card, maybe phone. Why don't we visit people in hospitals? What? COVID taught us not to. Some people don't want to be visited, right? Some people are like, what are you doing here? You know? What else? We don't know which hospital they're in. And a lot of times I'll finally go make the visit and I get there and they say, oh yeah, they were discharged this morning. Okay. So it's like hard to do. So we have our excuses, but sometimes we got to push beyond them and be like, I'm just going to call the switchboard. Is Barbara Stone there? You know, is she in your hospital? Or is she at Mercy? Or is she, where is she? I don't know. And make the call. But see, we all assume, I'm like, with Barbie, I'm like, Natasha's doing an awesome job keeping us up to speed. We know how to pray. We know what she's going through. And so we're praying for her and excited when we see her back. You know, so it's those things in a friendship that we look and say, the rule is to have a friend, you have to be a friend. It's that mutual support thing. Jesus said this in John 15:15. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. In our life group this past week, we put together a little friendship recipe. I said, what's a recipe for friendship? Somebody said kindness. That takes it. We have to be there for one another. Faith. Be faithful. And then a big one. Time. We got to spend time together. Here is the wisdom of today. Get those pens ready to ink this on your arm.
Write it on the door frames of your home. I don't know. Wherever you need to. This is deep. You're going to have to consider it. Your friends, were not your friends before they became your friends. Deep, huh? That's deep. Your friends were not your friends before they came your friends, became your friends. How did they become your friends? You spent time together. You were thrown in a situation together. You went to school together. You worked together. You were at the same church together. You went on a mission trip together. You were someplace put together. But that friend was not your friend until you took together time. And that's why in our church, we need to understand that time with each other creates friendship. Society isolates, and we need to reject that. We need to be intentional. We need to make the call. We need to invite. Here's a challenge. Be a glue stick. Remember we did that whole thing where we collected supplies for the teachers? They all wanted glue sticks. Be a glue stick in your friendship groups. What I mean is you and these two people are friends. Try to be the glue agent that brings somebody else into that circle. Try to be the glue agent in your friendship. Now, I know a lot of times as introverts, we don't want to bother people by calling and saying, hey, do you want to go walk back Cove with me? Because we're like, they probably don't want to. I don't want to bother them. And then we also think they would call us if they wanted to. Well, here's the thing. Introvert over here and introvert over there, you guys aren't going to call. You're not going to call. So why not make a commitment to your friends and say, we're going to call. Okay? We're going to call. I give you permission to call me. I give you permission. Then we'll get together. We'll have coffee. We'll do things together. Be the person who calls. Serve together. Serve together. I love the friendships that I see in our open door kitchen that have developed through serving together. I love those friendships. Host something if you can. All right? Here's some ideas. I'd love to see some volunteers that said, we want to put together a couple of fun things for our church per year. Maybe it's a bus trip to Boston to take in a Red Sox game. I don't know. Maybe all you campers, it's a camping weekend together. And it might start off as only seven families or three families that go. But it ties us together. Maybe it's a night on theater night. Maybe you create a FBC dine-around club where every month you try a different restaurant. We're in foodie heaven. Where you're just like, hey, we're doing dine-around. Well, want to go out? This month we're going here. Just ideas. Maybe it's exercise. I don't care. How about down in the dining room? You know, Holly's putting together a Zumba class. The laughs, the fun, a walking group, a cycling group. Jerry and Sherry and I were talking about getting our bikes, and Greg's getting a bike. And what if we did a fall ride up toward Freiburg and that paved trail as the foliage comes? Those types of things, as we spend time together, we see the friendship aspect that God has given us increase more and more, and we care about each other. So my message for this morning is to just, let's be intentional about building friendships within our church body, including and being like, hey, let's do this, let's do that. Okay? Okay. Okay. There's a cartoon that does that. I forget which one it is. Okay. Now it'll be on my mind all day.
What do you remember, Texas?
All right. I'm going to have to sing to let the kids know that we're done. Just kidding. Let's close in a word of prayer. Have a great week. Be watching the weather, you know, because as it gets cold, once it starts dropping. If it's dripping, we won't be outside. But if it starts dropping below that 60, we'll be inside. Okay, because our musicians, they're just not Freiburg firm. That's what I keep telling them. Freiburg fair firm. They go up there and you see these musicians doing their thing, and some years it's freezing cold. All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you love us with agape love, unconditional love. And I'm baffled and challenged when you tell us to love one another and love our neighbors with agape love. Father, I pray that you would strengthen us and help us to do that. Lord, for storge love, Father, that we would be able to reach out within our families and build that love up, or those who become so close, they become family. And think of Jen in our own family, Lord, and who's now kind of Auntie Jen. Lord, I pray that you'd increase those bonds. And Lord, that you would help us to manage and see how you've created Eros love and what context you've given it to us for. Father, that we would understand how the enemy counterfeits it and takes the strength out of it. And Lord, lastly, I pray that you would build in us a strong group of friends that enjoy each other's company, that laugh together, and Lord, that we would enjoy shared experiences together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, see you next week.